Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus, and you're listening to the Football Ramble.
Daddy's home. Hello, boys. It's the Football Hello. Ramble.
Who's that dick? come on. Dear, oh dear. I'm back, ladies and gentlemen.
It's not all about you.
And no doubt you're pleased to have me back. I mean, as we say, three's company, but four's a ramble.
It is indeed. Welcome home.
Thank you, brother.
Did you get us anything?
Yeah.
James is here.
Hello.
Pete's here.
Hello, Masters.
And Luke's here.
All right.
I didn't. but what I do have for you, though, is an opening question.
Okay.
Which I think is better...
Bit cheap.
...than any gift from the magnificent country of Jordan can offer. Now then, West Ham were recently in a big brawl, weren't they?
Post-relegation.
End-of-season dinner brawl.
Yeah, one game before the end of the season.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
The day after they were relegated.
Yeah.
Let's have dinner. Okay. Job done.
Has anyone done the joke about if you couldn't have an end-of-season dinner, you could have had it at Christmas?
No, well, you have then.
It's West Ham.
Yeah. All right.
Clever.
Everyone's sort of saying, no, that's the only fight they have shown.
Some wag.
Yeah.
Some bloody Twitter wag.
Cockney wag.
I mean, I think looking back on it, having that end of season drinks then it's a bad decision.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Well, obviously, Steve they must have King planned it there. Well in advance.
Hey.
Get home safe. Sorry. Anyway, the only question is, if you were in amongst that brawl, which perhaps you were, I don't know, who would, out of that West Ham squad, who would you like to be with you in the fight?
I would want the...
Specifically one player. Sorry.
The pale murderer, Robbie Keane.
pale murderer.
I can just, if he was a boxer, I can imagine that as his name, because he was an amateur boxer, wasn't he? And he would stand up and fight.
He's an amateur striker at the moment.
Hey.
Someone told me once that... a friend of mine is a girl. She said she was
a girl. Look, he knows a girl. Round of applause.
Yay.
Into the Dean Wendos Hall of Sex.
Luke is very good at being friends with girls. What does that say?
Oh dear.
Do carry on.
Come on.
She said she was standing in a bar in London and Robbie Keane came over to her.
Oh, London.
We're literally in London now. And Robbie Keane came over to her, started trying to chat her up, offered to buy her a drink. No.
I'll have the points now.
And then spat on the floor in front of her.
What? He did what?
He offered to buy her a drink, started chatting her up. When he thought she was like looking the other way, he spat on the floor.
Oh.
What, like he was like on the pitch?
You were, yeah,
like clearing his nose.
Yeah, maybe they get so used to it they just do it everywhere.
Was it into a spittoon?
I don't think, unconfirmed.
I saw a really pretty girl spit on the floor today.
Did you?
Yeah, it's really weird.
Put you off?
Come on, Jim. What's your reasoning for Robbie
My
Keane?
My reasoning for Robbie Keane is that he's clearly quite hard. You know, he's just got that. No, didn't he belt somebody? There was a famous story of him hitting someone in the dressing room. I forget which club
That's
it was
Roy
at,
Keane.
So it's a rubbish anecdote.
I've met Robbie Keane, lovely fella.
Oh, there you go.
Robbie Keane.
No spitting.
Spit on him.
So you wouldn't have him as a tag team partner?
No, but he'd be loyal, though. He'd be... fair enough, James.
No, I think he's packing power.
Do you think?
Yeah, I think he would. He'd just,
not actually.
No, he'd just stand up and fight until he couldn't fight anymore.
I agree with that.
Fair enough.
Pete, can you better that?
I'd go for academy midfielder Dominic Vos. Because I'm a believer in youth, and at 17, he's probably much harder than me.
But not old enough to be in a pub.
But not old enough to be in a pub.
That's true. You
know, we could be in a beer garden together. Yeah. He could have the kids' lunch.
This is taking a turn.
Me and Dominic Vos.
Luke, Say something.
I would go for Thomas Hitzlsperger, and I'd tee them up.
I'd get them to
Mortal Kombat style finish them.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd just left peg them out of the window. and I would actually say the words, finish him.
Yeah.
At the end as well.
He can strike a ball.
Oh, yeah.
And that will come in handy.
There's no doubt about it. Mm. You know.
Good. I'd have Kieran Dyer.
But Dyer's a good one because, you know, if we're in keeping with the tradition of the ruck that's just happened, yes, you're actually fighting West Ham fans, so they're not even going to look at you. They're just going to pile in.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking that if you're with him, then
it's like an invisibility cloak.
It could backfire because they might not recognise Kieran Dyer because he's not played for so long. Yeah.
Oh, that's true. Well, my reasoning behind that was, you know, if something was to happen to both of you, the worst would definitely happen to him.
Yeah.
He'd get the worst injury.
It'd just be the end of it. It'd just be a sort of blood-soaked suit on the floor. There'd be nothing left. He would have been pounded into oblivion.
That's a horrible image.
In my head,
you brought up this weird question.
In my head, in the background, Jonathan Woodgate just down his tracksuit, glassing himself in the face
over and over again.
As he walks out the pub, policeman goes up to him. Can I take a statement? No, I wasn't involved. I just laughed myself.
Jimbo, you've got the point.
Cheers, mate.
That's all right, pal.
I'm happy. I've still got Dominic Voz. So
yeah, exactly.
To think about for the rest of the ramble.
No, so
if I feel a little bit distracted, it's not because I'm ill prepared.
This time,
Dominic Voz.
Right. Well, anyway, after all that, West Ham have been relegated,
which isn't a laughing matter, incidentally.
No, and Uncle Avi.
Maybe an opportunity for Dominic Voz in the Championship.
Right.
No points for guessing what the show's going to be called this.
Oh dear. Uncle Avi, Avram Grant has been sacked.
Mm.
Steve McLaren's ruled himself out of the job.
Mm-hmm. Why? What's he got on?
Stop this.
Hey.
I don't like it when people just rule themselves out.
It's rude, isn't it? It's rude to the person who actually gets the
presumptuous
job.
Presumptuous.
Yeah. If McLaren did get the job, would he just rock up being like, oi, oi, get your ass, your father, oi.
It's a valid point.
Apparently, Avram Grant was sacked sort of before they made the trip back down to West Ham.
Which
is an awkward journey back.
Yeah. Long way.
Well, apparently, Parker insisted that he rode back with the team in the bus.
No, that's
what, to do like a sort of walk of shame?
Well, they offered him a car home. It's very nice of
hire car.
Nice of the bosses.
Yeah, but street car. You got to take it back tomorrow.
I think it was Rafa Honigstein on Twitter was tweeting some stuff about how Avram Grant's sort of managerial style.
Hmm.
Hands off, to say the least.
That's right, yeah.
I mean, like, this is Honigstein who said it, so I'm pretty sure it was him who said it. And apparently, when they were playing Chelsea, a couple of the midfield players asked Avram Grant, should we sit off, I think it was Essien and Lampard, or should we press them?
Mm.
And Avram Grant apparently said, you'll have to work that out for yourself when you get on the pitch.
What? Flipping Nora.
That's literally your job. Yeah. Hey, not so hands-on in the massage parlour.
Allegedly.
Yeah, to say it. Not allegedly.
He went to the massage parlour in his Pompey tracksuit.
All right. Hello. Just in case you didn't know who I was.
He besmirched a good name of my club.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Dear.
I mean, it's poor.
And then they went down.
It was such a terrible capitulation against Wigan. The West Ham fans will be so pissed off with the nature of it as much as anything else, because it was just so limp, just so utterly just
flaccid. The Wigan game was awful, wasn't it?
They'd had an all right couple of games, though, to be fair, beforehand, so it was kind of like, oh, they might do this. And then it was like, no.
But to be 2-0
up. Wrong match.
2-0 up and to just let it slip like that. Just... Oh, I'm gutted for West Ham.
No, no, absolutely.
But then again, incredibly important goals for Charles and Zogbia and Wigan.
Yeah, it's interesting. You've got to give them their due as well.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, because, I mean, to come from 2-0 down is an excellent effort. I was thinking, or someone was saying the other day that normally you associate changing managers with being a wrong decision and being hasty and being not conducive to success.
Mm.
But someone pointed out that West Bromwich Albion weren't happy with Di Matteo and they sacked him and got Hodgson in. Right. And they've done brilliantly. Mm. And Golden Sullivan stuck with Grant. And now...
Well, there's a suspicion that Martin O'Neill was approached and that it looked like it could have happened. But, you know, there was a lot come out and said, oh, it's behind Grant's back, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. It's all a bit weird and kind of clandestine. And apparently O'Neill didn't want to do it. This is all the rumours that are being heard under those circumstances. That. So they just stuck with Grant. There's also another, kind of theory that... sacking Grant now would have cost them $1 million, where it would have cost them $6 million previously.
Oh, right.
Financial mismanagement at the club. We touched on it last week. Yeah. It's absolutely incredible.
It might, to be honest,
maybe it's part of it.
Season in the Championship, do you think it
would get a lot of the earners away?
You know, it wouldn't be a bad move for them because they're incredibly bloated with players.
Oh, the Daily Express ran a good story about that, which was to do with Barry Silkman, the agent, who's basically running things there in terms of player personnel. And so, if you look at the list of the players he's got, he got them to sign. It's players like Mido and lots and lots of
flops
by Morte, lots of money.
McCarthy was the first one as well,
right?
It? Yeah. So, in that same article, it sort of broke down how much McCarthy cost them for sort of a return of, I think, no goals. It's staggering, it's absolutely staggering. Like Freddie Ljungberg as we spoke about last week. I think you're right, Pete. I think it will do them good to spend a little bit of time away. I don't think they're going to get much back in transfer fees. Maybe Parker aside, because there's a lot of players there, like Matthew Upson's clearly past his best. That sort of thing. Carlton Cole. I mean, you're not going to get big money for Carlton Cole, I wouldn't think, especially if you're on the way down and you clearly need it.
But you get your parachute
payments. It's getting rid of the wages, isn't it?
Right.
It's getting those high earners off the wage bill.
Absolutely.
Indeed. Blackpool, vital win for them.
Vibrant win as well.
Yeah, very much.
Brilliant. It's the Blackpool of old, wasn't it?
Yeah. Of old.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
you know, 8 months ago.
They're away to United on the last day. Obviously, Manchester United have won the league.
Yeah.
Will they rest players, though?
Well, they've been told by the FA that they can, and they won't face any sanctions. I imagine they will.
That
is outrageous, yeah, but...
I think it's more that it was clearly going to... But to be fair, the difference between a fringe player on Manchester United's box rather than, I don't know, Blackpool's...
But it's the principle.
The principle is ludicrous, yeah. But, I mean, maybe that's a discussion for another time. But so there's a chance Blackpool could get a point. They don't even need to win. If other results go their way, they could stay up in their goal difference.
Okay, right. So they need to lose, presumably, by less than Birmingham City lose.
I think that's how it works. Yeah, okay. I really hope Birmingham go down. Nothing against Birmingham, but they do have this single-handed ability to destroy Arsenal's season.
I think so. They're not alone
selfish,
in that.
Selfish reasons. They seem to be the catalyst, though.
Do they?
Yeah. Whilst on the subject of Blackpool, of course they have had a little bit of banter with Preston North End fans.
Blanter?
Yeah, it could be. Did you see Countdown the other day?
I didn't see it. I was aware of it.
Because we're employed.
Some
of us are employed.
That's why the question was directed at you.
One of the production team on Countdown is a Blackpool fan.
Yes.
And he rigged the conundrum to read PNE, Preston North End, crisis.
Nice touch.
Forget the word, but it was...
Princess.
No, it wasn't princess. It was a really odd word.
Priciness.
It was clearly just priciness.
Yeah. Clearly just crowbarred in for that reason. It's great.
Which makes me respect it more.
Definitely.
It's commitment to the prank.
Mm. While we're on the subjects of pranks.
It's been a time for pranks, hasn't it?
Liverpool 0, Spurs 2. Mm. That wasn't the big story from that game, though, was it?
No.
The penalty decision was a reasonably big story.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the 19 times banner that the Man United fans managed to get in there.
That is an absolute military sort of scale operation that they've pulled off there. It's brilliant.
And you'd need weapons, to be fair.
Well, I know they had a getaway car.
I know, but they had fans in both ends as well, didn't they? So they could get it on camera and get the banner out there.
Because it would take some time for people to clock it and then go, right, what does that mean? Because it can't possibly be... I think they've been had.
Presumably, what they did is they went down, they unrolled it so it was facing away from the stand they were in, and they just legged it.
That's how banners work. But I mean, they're actually getting down there because it would take a while for everybody in the stadium to sort of go, well, that must be ironic. I can't figure out the irony by which time those guys are in their car.
Obviously, the people on that side can't see it. It must have been
and also the people over the other side of the stadium. Apparently, they had people on the other side taking pictures.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, they absolutely nailed it.
It's an excellent effort.
They must have bought tickets.
Oh yeah,
well, of course they have. Yeah.
In advance.
It's just brilliant. Because I think I read somewhere it's 1994 or something like that. United won the league and Liverpool fans had a banner at Anfield that said come back when you've won 18.
Yeah.
And they did basically. Last time they won the league with another banner, and this is just another one in the saga.
They did come back.
Have they taken down the Manchester City year ticker banner?
Well, weren't they parading around with their 0-0 years?
Yeah,
I think the actual players were running around with it.
Oh, were
they? Nice. 0-0 years.
Because the Manchester United fans, I presume we're going to have to take that one down next. It was ticking on to 35 years, wasn't it? Yeah.
My goodness. But it was still a good win for Spurs away at Liverpool.
It was.
They were making noises that they didn't want the Europa League. And then
now they seem to really want it.
Yeah. Do you think the chairman's got something to do with that?
Someone was saying that the chairman must have had a word in reading up Shell. Come on.
In his shell.
If you want to spend another 30 million on another striker,
you love playing football, let's have another 19 games.
Yeah. Let's be honest though, if Spurs qualify for the Europa League, which presumably they will, I don't think they're qualified for the Champions League next season.
Well, it's going to really hamper them, isn't it? I mean, I'm not saying they should throw games, but
you know, but that's how they got into the Champions League last season, because they didn't have a European competition.
And they went out of both cups early as well.
That's right.
What you need is a team who have got, you know, a good previous in the Europa League to be back in there. Who would appreciate it?
Fulham?
Could be.
Would be the perfect example.
It would be, yeah. Would you like to see Fulham back in there?
Yeah, definitely. If they go easy on Arsenal at the weekend, which they're going to have to.
No, but it's to do with the fair play, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If they go in sort of lunging all over the place, they might lose it.
Did you see Mark Schwartz nearly scored?
No, I didn't. Birmingham.
Yeah, Foster tipped it around. Yeah, I saw that huge kick.
Foster misjudged the bounce and he just dived back.
Foster's been done like that before, hasn't he?
Yeah. That was a woeful result for Birmingham. Fulham's away record is poor at best.
Well, no, but Fulham have really picked it up now in the last few months.
They've not got an awful lot to play for, Fulham. And Birmingham are fighting for their lives at home.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. I'm saying recently Fulham have really stepped it up. I mean, Fulham, they're 9 points, I think, above the relegation zone. You know? But
Hughes is doing an exceptional job there. Yeah, well, he's quietly getting on with it.
Exactly, he's got his two main strikers back, which has been a huge bonus. Yeah. And then, you know, could finish eighth. You know, so
Benitez.
Do you know what I mean? And half of eighth is fourth. Are you happy with that, James? Arsenal top four?
No, I'm really, really not. As I think you can imagine, I mean, it's out of our hands now, isn't it? Obviously, if City win both their games and with the momentum they've got, it's entirely feasible.
We were talking about
the
teams you could get in the qualifying for the Champions League.
Yeah, Villarreal,
Bayern Munich.
Yeah,
I mean, Udinese. Bennett. What are they doing finishing for?
It's ridiculous.
But again, it could do them good. Not automatically getting the Champions League spot and having to fight for it, and knowing that they need to reinvest and spend a bit of money in the close season.
The worry for me though, Pete, is we have been in this position before and that hasn't happened. Large sweeping change is needed, I think. I mean, not a hugely dramatic one, but Wenger generally says, oh, we need one or two players. I think we need four or five top-class players pushing for the first
team. You
need
defenders.
Yes.
When I saw Jim on Sunday, we were talking about this, and he said to me, yeah, I think we should just change our name to Robin Van Persie.
Yeah, it's true.
He has been an absolute phenomenal.
It really is. He's the only one who has a leading shot.
Yeah. And loads of them have gone in.
Yeah, that's true. It really
I think
is.
He's got 21 goals this season in something like 32 games. He's missed a lot of games, obviously.
Yeah, that's right.
I think that's his best ever return.
Oh, yeah. Well, who knows? He could be scoring goals against Fulham in the Europa League.
Robin Van Goalsy.
No, they can't go into the Europa League.
No, if they finish like third in the group in the Champions
League. Oh, indeed.
Yeah. Yeah. Or am I being too
presumptuous?
Yeah, you're thinking too far ahead.
That's right. We'll get through the preliminary round first.
What's that cup they always have in the close season?
The
Intertoto.
No, the Emirates.
The Emirates Cup.
The Emirates Cup, that's right.
The Intertoto Cup is now part of the Europa League. That was part of simplifying it. Chuck the whole other competition in it.
Did Fulham win the Intertoto?
I know West Ham won it once.
You guys won it!
I would love to see sort of, a cup, which was all of the cups that have gone in to make the Europa League, just sort of like melted together. Yeah. Just to see what that would actually look like. It would be huge. It'd be like a climbing frame.
Melted cup.
Must say that old.
Climbing frame.
The scale of it, with just bits of cup hanging off it.
Yeah, Speaking of the Emirates Cup, Boca Juniors are coming to that this summer.
Yeah,
aren't
be
they?
Fun. Oh, are they?
Yeah.
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 Ooh,
be great.
San Martin.
Yeah.
More on him later.
Well, he might not still be playing then. He might be. All right, fair enough.
Come on.
Now, you saw James or Jim on Sunday.
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Where was that?
Because we went.
They
to
were kissing under a bridge.
Yeah. Stamford Bridge, specifically.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and it wasn't just kissing.
Yeah. I have got quite the rash.
It was an orgy of football.
Are you going to tell us?
Yes, we went to Stamford Bridge to see Chelsea versus Newcastle. Did. We sat behind the most comedy Chelsea fan ever.
He might as well have had like a giant Chelsea shirt on with cab driver as on the back of it. It was incredible. One of the things he shouted out, I actually wrote this down, I think it was sort it out, Carlo, you tactical pygmy. He was just shouting at everything.
Champions League.
It was like he was like he was watching a different game. He was just so angry about just complete non-decisions. There was a point as well where he just went Jose Mourinho once. Yeah. Just like apropos of nothing. And he was sort of doing sort of chanting with swear words in it, but because there were kids around, he just wouldn't say anything when the sweary bit came along.
Yeah.
So they made no sense. But he was happy to be racist. He had a nice little racist remark at the end. So.
We were in the middle of the weirdest fan sound. Because behind us was like a really clueless American guy.
Yeah.
Not the suicide ball guy.
Possibly.
Hey.
But he shouted out. Similar. He shouted out, "For you don't know what you're doing."
Yeah.
He started shouting out, "You know not what you're doing."
I like that.
It was great.
It sounds like the same guy I was sat near.
And
once.
He kept shouting out, "Referee, that's outrageous."
Yeah.
I tell you what.
Is it the same fella?
It's the kind of stuff he was saying.
Ball fella. Was you this at Chelsea?
Yeah. Do you remember that? You remember the time when I went, and I think that in fact maybe even the name of the podcast that week was Michael Ballack's suicide ball.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, that's
but a year ago or
yeah, yeah,
whenever it was, and Ballack, that's a suicide ball. That's the kind of stuff he was shouting.
Could be the same guy.
We were quite high up.
Yeah, right, the heaters are in front of you. They have heaters.
No, they weren't like summer. So
yeah,
no, but it's still there.
I didn't.
Do you know what I mean? You don't like? Oh, there's no lights. They're still there.
I didn't notice them.
My other highlight of the game was we went in the so what would you call it? The hospitality.
Yeah,
I suppose,
yeah,
wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And they had all the kind of birthday wishes and stuff on the screens at half time, and there was a birthday wish from a person whose name was Berents, which. Terence with a T, with a B.
I
can't get over it. It's still making me laugh now. Berents.
All right, Dominic Vos, you're not the name of the ambulance.
It's a good name, isn't it?
Berents.
Yeah. Jim and I sat there trying to work out if it was a typo, yeah, what it could mean. Like, you're going, Bernice, could be Terence with a B.
Bernice
the T's
sauce.
Nowhere near the B on the keyboard, no. So that wouldn't happen. Berents. Yeah.
Berents?
But I mean, the
game was all right as well, wasn't it?
Yeah. I wasn't watching.
Two Amiobis on the pitch. Thank you very much.
That was good.
The game was played with a real sort of enjoyable amount of intensity, given there was no real not massive amount to play for. And it's good to see Newcastle use some young players as well.
Yeah, it was good. It's good to see Luau Luau back. He's a real talent. Mm. I think he would definitely be find his place next season. Pardew's a fan. So
he was on loan at Brighton for a while, wasn't he?
Yeah, he did really well till his injury. But
I really wanted to score to see if he'd do a Luau Luau. Textbook somersault.
Yeah.
Jonas Gutierrez was fun to watch, wasn't he? He had a very energetic game involved.
I can't work out why he's good.
Well, he played him up front weirdly. Like, he didn't really, because he's usually on the left and stuff, and he does sometimes have the chance to open his legs and stuff. But it was nice to see him attack. He can't shoot for shit, but it was fun to see him have a crack.
I can't put my finger on what it is he actually does. He's not very fast.
I don't know why.
He's not very skillful.
He is quite skillful, but a lot of his sort of, he does a lot of nutmegs, and he does sort of open his legs a lot. He's got a great sort of gait, if that makes any sense. But he doesn't necessarily look like the quickest player. He defends a lot more than the other Argentinian left-sided players. So he's kind of, I think that's why he's in for Argentina.
Argentina. Determined, isn't he?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, the reason Luke and I were at Stamford Bridge was it was part of the launch of the Adidas Predator, the new boot. We got to meet Salomon Kalou, didn't we? Afterwards.
Yeah, he turned up. Yeah, he's a lovely, lovely man.
I can imagine.
Very smiley. I did his celebration with him, his sort of John Cena, you can't see me thing.
Because what happened was he came around and he was getting photos with everyone. And then when he came up to Jim, Jim went, can we do your celebration? And I was sort of a bit like, oh no. And he was like, yeah, he's really pleased. He's like, oh,
I love it. And everyone was doing it, wasn't
yeah,
it? Started a trend. Also, do you remember Jason Cundy in the.
Cundy.
Before the game, they always have a legend, don't they? And clearly, the person announcing who was going to be.
Very generous.
Yeah, keep listening. The person announcing who was going to be doing the talk before the game, she clearly didn't know who Kerry Dixon was. So she went, and the person doing the talk will be the legend Kerry Dixon. Like he was a cowboy, like it was all one title, and Jason Cundy was alongside him, and somebody asked, like, who do you think's going to win today? He said, yeah, I think we'll win because Newcastle, they are pathetic at the end of the season. he also claimed he still hates Spurs.
Despite
having played for them.
Yeah, worse than that. He said the following question was, oh, Chelsea and Spurs, who do you support or something? And he was like, well, I've always been a Chelsea fan. I hated Spurs when I signed for them. I hated them when I played for them. And to be honest, everyone, I still hate them. he was really incredible. Harsh.
Kiss that badge.
You know he goes to Spurs and says the same about Chelsea.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Was he pissed?
Later on, I imagine he would have
He was dressed like a recently come out lesbian, as someone said.
Yeah.
All plucked eyebrows and open shirt.
That's super. Yeah. I think I worked out while you were at Stamford Bridge, I was standing by the River Jordan.
So, oh, River Jordan, with a girl.
Yeah.
There was no girl.
I drowned her in the River Jordan.
Only farmyard animals.
Yeah.
Now,
while on the subject of the game, and Newcastle, I think Niall Ranger did something silly, didn't he?
Oh, he did, yes. He was pictured with a replica gun.
Mm.
You're the go-to man for this.
Come on.
The Gorty man.
Yeah.
Gorty man. Replica guns expert, Pete Donaldson.
NUFC.com made a very good point. They showed a picture of David Beckham out with the Marines with a shooting a gun. They went, oh, if he's in the England squad, though, he's fine. He can pause with a gun.
If you're with the Marines, it's a little different, though, isn't it?
Is it? It is. Niall Ranger is pathetic at the end of the season.
Yeah. Yeah. I suppose it's better that he said at the end of the season rather than at the end of the day. Yeah. That'd have been really bad, wouldn't it? My goodness. Now then, FA Cup final.
Mm.
It was won by Manchester City.
It was, which annoyed me a little bit, purely because of that smug Man City fan that got a tattoo, like, sort of proclaiming their win back before it had happened. There's loads of those tattoos about. There's one claiming, like, putting them down as European champions of 2011, which could end particularly badly if United win it. There's another one with a tattoo of Kaká, I think one with a tattoo of Rooney.
I've got one.
Stop this, Man City fans.
I've got one of England World Cup 2022 hosts. Yeah? Yeah, a bit pissed off at that, I'll tell you.
Yeah. Especially as they're after 2018.
Yeah, yeah.
I got one saying Newcastle. Well, it's not pathetic. And Dominic Vos is my boyfriend.
Yaya Touré.
Yeah, he's had a good season.
Great. Yeah, he's had a great season.
What,
yeah.
what a smashing goal.
10 goals. That was his 10th goal of the season, I think. Oh, and man. It obviously got an important one in the semi as well. Yeah,
and definitely. Well done for Micah Richards and Balotelli doing a swear on the telly.
Yeah. I mean, actually, Micah Richards deserves credit as well. He's had a very good season. He's been written off widely by a lot of people.
Yeah,
over
fucking
a long
good
period.
Season.
The thing about Micah Richards, which is
it's not the first time he's done that,
no,
is it, Richards?
He shouted at, who was it? He shouted that a few years ago.
It was another FA Cup game, I think.
Yeah, yeah,
I think they'd
yeah.
just gone through, he scored the header or something like that. And after the game, it was like, Micah, how do you feel? It was like, oh, it's fucking great. Just something really just
Garth
thoughtless.
Crooks. You shouted at Garth Crooks.
No way.
Just sort of not really mentioning it.
Crooks wouldn't know what to do. He'd been a bit like Hugh Grant.
Yeah,
in front of a girl.
He's really flustered.
Yeah. It would take ages to get a response.
At least Balotelli's got the excuse that he's not talking in his first language. You know, it's a bit of a
how you only learn the swear words.
Yeah, it's true.
That might be how British people learn another language, but it's not the same for everyone.
But the thing that actually Balotelli said was quite weird, because he sort of said, I've been shit all season.
Yeah.
Can I say that? Been... Well, no, because you haven't been shit, and you've done a swear.
And you're just about, you were man of the match today. In the cup.
Yeah. But he has been quite down on himself, hasn't he? But it just shows his ambition, really. He just wants to keep getting better. And I don't know if we have seen the best of him yet, compared to sort of his time at Inter.
Emotionally, we've seen the best of him, I think.
Yeah. His best stuff is off the field.
Yeah.
That's what we're about to discuss.
That's why they signed him.
Yeah,
but one of the things that's extraordinary about Michael Richards is that he's in the under-21 squad for this... When did he make his full England debut?
Yeah,
three or four years ago?
Yeah. How old would he have been? 18 or something?
Mm. You're allowed to take one over 23, so could you not take like...
I think you're allowed three over 23.
Could you take like David Beckham?
But you could, in theory, you could, because I take it... I think Argentina take Riquelme?
They did.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. So that was for the Olympics, though.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it's the same in an under-21 tournament.
Oh, okay, yeah, then that is true.
But there's also a rule that if you're 21 when the qualifying campaign starts or under-21...
It's before a certain date.
That was like James Milner racked up the...
Yeah.
He's got about 100 caps in the
25. Right now, Mario Balotelli. Did you hear that he helped a little lad who's been getting bullied at school?
I did. Tell the story.
Well, it was
Dad.
The young lad was hanging around City's training ground, and he asked Balotelli for an autograph. And Super Mario was questioning why aren't you at school? And he said, "Oh, he was being bullied and whatnot." So Balotelli, I'm not having this. Put him in his
get
car.
In the Matarazzi.
Yeah, exactly.
Maserati. I
know what you meant.
Matarazzi.
it was a sinister
get in the
moment.
Del Piero.
And he drove him
get in the Bab.
He drove him and reportedly his mother to the school to have a word with the bully,
presumably. So they went home to pick up the mum then.
Well, yeah. Yeah. It's incredible. And then he demanded to see the headmaster to make him aware of all this, and he was even there involved as a sort of mediator when the two boys were to talk about
this. Is surreal situation.
It's like Mr. T in like an 80s kids TV show.
Yeah, like Treat Your Mother Right. Have you seen
that?
Very bizarre video.
Yeah.
It's a song we'll put that on Ramble Tree.
Yeah, somebody wrote in the Mirror comments sort of saying this had nothing to do with him. Which I quite liked.
Well, another source from a paper said Mario feels strong about bullying and thinks it's out of order.
Just imagine it, you're the headmaster of that school, you get a call through from like the receptionist lady that works at the school. Mario Balotelli's here to see you?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
And like Mario Balotelli is good friends with Zlatan Ibrahimovic, yet he doesn't like a bully.
Yeah,
that guy kicks people in the head.
Maybe that's why
he did it again, didn't he?
He did, Cassano in the back of the head.
While being interviewed on TV,
the worst thing about that video clip I saw, it cut off as soon as he got kicked. I'd like to have seen Cassano's reaction.
No, Cassano sort of, he was angry, and then he looked at Zlatan, and Zlatan sort of turns him and goes, "Hey," and walks off.
Yeah, but did you see him having a lovely little moment together?
No, what was that?
No, they were like lying down and just sort of. It was a bit like the Zlatan Pique, but with Cassano this time.
Oh, was it?
Not up against a car. Who'd win in the fight, Zlatan or Cassano?
Zlatan. Honorary black belt.
Yeah,
that's very true.
I believe that's how it works.
Well, maybe he's going to go to Man City next season. Who knows? That would be incredible, wouldn't it?
That would be amazing.
But anyway, we talked about Manchester City winning the cup, but not the only half of Manchester that was celebrating. Of course, Manchester United won the league, as we said earlier, 19 times. They got the point, as predicted by Luke last week, I believe. He said, don't be surprised if that's a draw.
Well, Jim said, if Sam Allardyce is in charge, it'll be chuckles and handshakes the whole game.
Yeah, that's very true.
Steve Keane's obviously taken it badly.
Yes.
Or well.
Maybe too well, if anything.
My goodness, what a Jesus. Way.
I understand the reasoning behind it, but the most...
Get a cab! I understand. Easily afford a cab. Or one of them scooter man things that you see in the toilet.
They're amazing. Have you seen them? Have you heard of them?
Basically, a man turns up
on a scooter, doesn't he? That, folds it up, I sticks it in your boot,
that
drives
job.
You home.
I would never do awful. That job.
It's a terrible job.
But you'd have stories, though.
Yeah, awful stories.
Yeah, fair enough.
Sick vomit sock stories.
I didn't like to see Blackburn just sort of setting him for the point, though.
At the end.
Yeah, it was a real keep ball exercise from United towards the end.
Wouldn't you have done so for Blackburn, though? At that, in that position? But it's a very, very valuable point. And to be honest, for Manchester United, I just thought it was a very weak way to win the title.
The point could keep Blackburn up. Yeah. You know, the way it looks like things might go.
Kushak drunk.
Yeah, it's seen that way. We've had enough. Come on.
Sorry, I should have said. Kushak, we're hanging out with Steve Keane,
the manager of Blackburn.
Yeah. He was just all over the place, wasn't he? He nearly got tackled at the edge of his own area a couple of times.
Exactly. I know a player like Kushak's not played an awful lot of football, but
he should still remember how the game works.
And he should know the rules.
Yeah.
You can't put the ball up if it's a pass back. If it's not, you can. Yeah. That's one of the most basic ones.
He sort of passed it himself in front of him to give himself space.
Yeah.
And it was just like, what? You pressed the wrong button on FIFA.
Yeah, exactly.
You've done it wrong.
Exactly. But incredibly, though, the relegation run-in. Two from five.
Yeah.
It's going to be exciting last day.
But it's incredible how many points you need to survive this season when there's so few points up the top end.
That's right.
Very, very strange.
Yeah.
Niall Quinn said an amazing thing about Mick McCarthy about the Wolves Sunderland match. If one ugly bastard was going to beat us, I'm glad it was you, Mick. Lovely thing to say.
It's quite good.
Back to United, though, because, you know, I think we do need to give them credit for winning their 19th title and, you know, actually, you know,
it's Ryan Giggs' 12th league
off
title.
Their perch. I mean, obviously, a lot of people have been saying that, you know, it's not a vintage United side, but end of the season, they've really hit form. They're looking excellent.
I think Ferguson and Manchester United will be happy to be called whatever they want if they win the Premier League and the Champions League.
They've won the Premier League.
I know.
If they win the Champions League, you know, they're one away from properly, you know, knocking Liverpool off their perch. That's the one they value more.
It's a marathon and a sprint.
You cannot take anything away from a Premier League winner.
No.
Do you know what I mean? It's ridiculous.
Serie A winner, you can.
And it's been done.
And Duncan Ferguson. Can't take anything away from him because he will kill you.
It's very true indeed. Now, down in the Championship, Swansea are into the playoffs final.
After
beating Forest. Yeah.
Absolutely
gutting. That's a shame. They threw everything at them in that second half, didn't they?
Stinking.
Brendan Rodgers did an amazing WWE style celebration where he ran down the crowd doing high fives with all the fans.
Oh, nice.
Someone pointed out
someone with a chair.
He looks a bit like he looks a bit like Christopher Eccleston.
Yeah, I love a bit of that.
Yeah, I think so.
For my money, though, the playoffs final is the biggest game of the season.
All right, Sky.
Big shout.
No, how's that Sky?
Because there's so much money riding on it, just watch it. Watch it.
The biggest game of the Championships.
Yeah, season. Better.
Cardiff Swansea would be amazing.
That would be incredible.
You can argue that Swansea deserved to be in the final. I mean, no team in the league won more.
You'd
than
be a fool not to.
They won
their semi.
Apart from QPR, no one else. QPR are the only team to win as many games as them in the league this season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just they let themselves down.
Of course, at the time of recording, Cardiff and Reading have yet to finish. But Reading have hit form at the right time. We talked about all that kind of stuff, didn't we?
It would be amazing winning an all Welsh final. It's unimaginable.
There'd be parts of like the opposing team sort of going, well, at least there's a Welsh team in the Premier League.
No way, man.
But then you sort of think, nah.
Right, I'd like to talk about Hartlepool signing Norberto Solano, Pete.
Amazing scenes.
Could you ask for anything more?
The women of Hartlepool are going to be so sexed. God knows he's a philanderer.
Is he going to be playing his own trumpet?
If you know what I mean.
He doesn't need to.
Blowing his own trumpet should have.
I love the word philanderer.
You're not very good with sexy puns, are you? He'd be decent. Free kicks. He can hit a free kick. If you're ready for that, sit at left back. Just soak it up. Nobby Solano, ladies and gentlemen.
Is this a Nobby Solano for left back campaign to accompany your David Beckham for right back campaign?
Yeah, exactly. Right.
What a pair of fullbacks.
Yeah. Sounds like an insult. What pair of fullbacks.
If Beckham went to Hartlepool and started playing,
not
going to
happen.
Imagine it though.
No, I can't.
Beckham scored an absolute peach of a free kick for the Galaxy this week.
Yeah, it was brilliant, wasn't it?
And the commentator was amazing. Did you see it?
No.
I think it was against Kansas City, and he it was from the edge, right on the left hand corner of the 18 yard box. And he's bent it in the near corner.
It was quite far out, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a great hit. And the commentator went, "Oh, come on!
Really?
Stop it! Stop it!
Our cups overfloweth."
It's great stuff.
Now then. You conveniently missed out this country last week, didn't you? It's Scotland.
Never heard of it.
Ladies and gentlemen. Rangers are champions. Walter Smith signs off in style. Getting the double, winning the league. Captain David Weir wins the league at 41 years old.
Impressive.
Yeah, we'd be saying that about
his ends.
Had Arsenal done the business there. Hearts finished third.
Yeah. How many points was it? Is it about 20 points off?
30.
No,
it wasn't 30.
I think it was.
Was it?
Oh, Jiminy Cricket.
Not
the greatest prediction you've ever had, really, Mark, is it?
What did I say?
Well, you said that they'd be up there or thereabouts.
Oh, third.
At one point, Mark...
On the podium.
At one point when I was with Jim on Sunday, we watched the Sky Sports News and the Scottish table flashed up and had the points. And we didn't even say anything to each other, we just looked at each other and just laughed. We both saw hearts.
I tell you what, Dundee United though, a good fourth finish for them. But there's a gap between fourth and fifth that was quite big as well.
Yeah. It's been some bad stuff as well, though, hasn't there?
It's all about next year. For the magnificent Gorgie boys. Yes, there's been some bad stuff.
That guy got on the pitch, tried to clobber Neil Lennon.
He did clobber him, didn't he?
He sort of got his arm around his head, didn't he? Yes.
To be fair, there's been some horrific stuff.
I mean, it's something that he had a bullet posted to him, didn't he? Letter bombs intercepted. It's moronic. It's the lowest level of idiocy. Yeah.
And you're not even finding anyone around this table saying that Neil Lennon's a good bloke or anything. Yeah. I mean, there's a line to be drawn, isn't
there? No, absolutely. Mm. Oh, yeah, I mean, you can say all day, Neil Lennon doesn't do himself any favours, but for crying out loud.
Yeah,
I don't know why they're getting so angry, because one of them are going to win it one each season anyway, so don't worry about it.
It's just meaningless in the modern day.
They haven't forgotten the nine in a row, Pete. Yeah. it's great for Walter Smith to sign off in such fashion with the double. And of course, still got the Scottish Cup to come. Celtic versus Motherwell, or The Well, as they're nicknamed, James or Jim. Now, in Spain, Barcelona have won the league, incredibly.
We knew that.
I think I'm right in saying that in La Liga, up to and including 12th position can still be relegated with one game left.
Is that right?
Wow. It's very competitive. Up to and including Levante, I think. Mm. I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's true.
Ronaldo equaled the Spanish league record, the league goals record of 38. Zara and Hugo Sanchez, he's equaled their record. He's got one game left.
I wonder what lead story Mark will be going on with last game of the season if he does it.
Well, Mark are claiming that he's actually got 39 because there was a dubious one earlier on in the season or something.
Yeah, they make the Sun look like a bastion of integrity.
Yeah. It's incredible. Actually, weirdly, I was at one of the part of the Predator launch I was at today. There were a lot of players there, and there was some Spanish press in, and the questions they put to the players, they did not pull any punches. There was a guy who asked Kaká how he felt about Mesut Ozil replacing him.
Ooh.
It was really, the wording was really, really
strong.
Was that
strong.
Like
a translation thing though?
No, it was you could see him sort of go,
what did Kaká say?
Strong. He just, you know, a lot of guff. It was just like, you know, we're all in the team together, he's a good player, I get on with him really well, blah 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 blah. And it was strange. At one weird point, Fernando Llorente sort of looked me in the eye and just went as if to say, "It's a bit odd, isn't it?"
Yeah,
it's weird.
Oh, lovely moment between you and the big man. Did you see that Adebayor recently? I don't know why he was talking about this, about the Spurs' chance against him in the quarter final of the Champions League.
Yeah,
he was talking about it and he said, "You know, it's a shame. I'd go to Spurs though if I was given the chance." And he was saying that they were his number one choice.
What?
After Real Madrid, or second choice, that would make them.
It's almost like football's not his primary motivation, isn't it?
It's a ridiculous
thing to say.
It's stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. He wants a chance to just run up the end of the field and celebrate one last time.
He just wants to get many, many ones over on Arsenal.
He wants to get many, many stools thrown in his face. <Yeah. laughs>
Clearly. Now in Holland, Ajax won the league, beating...
Traditional. Good. Yeah. Keep it that way.
Twente went close again.
Twente were very close. In fact, actually, Ajax, when they lost to PSV, we talked about that a few weeks ago, that really dented Ajax's hopes. And I, for one, thought they weren't going to win it, but they have turned it around.
Stekelenburg dented the trophy. Well, he did Sergio Ramos, didn't he?
Yeah, the keeper.
Our cup's getting easy to drop, Richie.
it's more like a shield, the cup there.
Yeah. It is, yeah.
I like the Ajax supporter just ran down the street going, yes, I've got it, yes.
He stole it off the work. Didn't they? The workman
absolutely superb. Now then, South American time. The Super Classico happened. Boca versus River.
Yeah, at the Bombonera.
Everything is good this week.
Yeah.
San Martin scored.
Amazing.
Absolutely.
It was absolutely, because that was the second goal, which basically put it beyond doubt for River. Yeah. The first goal was an atrocious error by the goalkeeper. the sort of thing you come to expect from South American club football.
Right?
Yeah, amazing. It was amazing.
Oh, absolutely.
See, AC/DC have got a live album coming out called Live at River Plate.
Oh, amazing.
It's just a bizarre couple of things to put together. Like, I can imagine there's probably a game on during the gig.
No, but a lot of gigs happen at River Plate because I think it's the biggest stadium in the country.
Right.
I think the Rolling Stones played there a few years ago.
Is it the Monumental?
It certainly seems it.
Speaking of drop cups and stuff, wasn't in South America, in Brazil, wasn't last season it went on fire?
Yeah, that was
right. Yeah.
Yeah, there's the flares and the fireworks.
That's quite right, of course. Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing.
Troubling times.
Maybe just combusted.
Yeah. that's how good a title win it was. You put fire.
Yeah. Did you see this? We mentioned Rivaldo, of course. Playing football in Brazil again.
Yeah, he's gone to Sao Paulo, hasn't he?
He has, incredible. How old is he, 38?
He'd be pushing on, yeah.
He's late 30, certainly. But yeah, well, he's he's playing at Sao Paulo, which is incredible. He was left on the bench by Carbagiani, the Sao Paulo coach. And Rivaldo said, "He hurt me. I am so humiliated."
He's 38?
Yeah.
As he threw himself on the floor.
Yeah, exactly. So
I am humiliated.
Well, the manager said, don't worry, the board have got full confidence in me. The board sacked him. And they said the player couldn't work with the coach. Carbagiani had to go.
Wow.
Brilliant.
Player power.
That is not a sustainable business model.
Gordon Bennett. But now, while this is a tedious link to Brazil, it's Roberto Carlos, although he is playing in Chechnya at the moment.
It's Brazilian, it's not tedious.
I had to fit it in somewhere.
Tedious? Tenuous.
Forgotten how to spoke.
Yeah. Now, he was playing in Chechnya at the moment. A fan ran onto the pitch in a recent match and wanted an autograph of the great man. See this?
Inappropriate time.
Yeah.
I think it's the only time, actually.
I'd love to think Roberto Carlos just went, "Mate, I'm working at the moment." Yeah.
Well, he didn't, actually.
No.
What are you
doing for lunch?
Yeah. He was huge, the fan, as well. He was about 2 feet tall. He signed the autograph. And, the fan, as he ran up there, he was like giddy with excitement and fell over. and then Carlos signed the autograph and they gave him a hug. And then he was like, "Right, come on, you better piss off now." And the guy ran off, and then Carlos was like, "I've still got his pen," and ran after him and gave him his pen.
Oh, that's nice.
It's not a testimonial. I get well, kind of nonsense.
I doubt that supporter will get to keep that autograph.
Yeah. I doubt he'll get to keep his freedom.
Yeah, indeed. Oh, dear. Now, Luke's gone off somewhere. Luke, where are you?
I'm in Diego Corner, Marcus.
As if I didn't know.
Yeah, because El Diego, or should I now be calling him Al Diego, has come out of hiding. He wasn't in hiding. and been named the new manager of Al Wassel after the Dubai-based club confirmed they've reached an agreement with him. Now, I did seek advice on how to pronounce it, and apparently it is Al Wassel, but apologies if that's wrong. But unfortunately, Diego's not come out and done a press conference yet. As is his wont, he turned up to watch him train in a baseball cap. jeans, old like shirt. He's not done a press conference yet. But one thing I did dig out, and I'll bring you Diego Maradona quotes maybe next week if he does do a press conference. But I dug out, and I think we may be the first football podcast in history to legitimately mention John Burridge three times in a row. But John Burridge is now a pundit on Dubai-based television.
Wow!
Right, I'll just let that sink in for a minute. These are some quotes, actual quotes from John Burridge about Diego Maradona's appointment at Al Wassel, right? He said, "He was the best coach at the World Cup."
Incorrect, John.
Okay, he's not the best tactician, and he got stuffed by Germany, but so did Capello.
What? How much are they paying him?
Maradona will be to Al Wasser what Dalglish is to Liverpool. Keegan was to Newcastle, and Redknapp is to Spurs. The players will adore the ground he walks on. They'll run from here to Saudi Arabia and back. You won't need to understand the team talk with Diego in the dressing room. Heck, you won't need a team talk.
Wow. John wants to play, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I like the idea that kind of Maradona's not, certainly when he was in charge of Argentina, he wasn't scared to bring in a really old man.
Yeah, that's yeah,
true. Head defence that's and true. Stuff, so.
You mentioned John Burridge being a pundit on Dubai television. Yeah. Whilst I was in Jordan, I managed to watch the two Champions League semi-finals. And I don't know which station it was, forgive me, but it certainly serves a couple of the Arabic countries.
It certainly started with Al.
Yeah, exactly. It may well have been Al Jazeera, I'm not sure. Alan Shearer. Getting involved.
Alan Shearer.
Yeah, exactly.
I think Souness does it as well.
No, but it was so funny though, because...
On Al Jazeera, in fact.
Right, okay. But in the studio, it was obviously all in Arabic, of course.
Yeah.
The anchorman was speaking Arabic. All the other pundits were as well. And Shearer was just sat there, waiting his turn, obviously not getting involved in the chat. And then the guy turns to Shearer, speaks in Arabic, and Shearer goes, "Well, absolutely, Manchester United were very strong today," and da-da-da-da. It's so odd.
That is odd. That is really, really odd.
Yeah, really strange.
This Diego thing, I feel I've got off lightly here, because I saw a headline that said Diego goes to the Emirates. I was just thinking, we are in meltdown.
Knee jerk.
Well, let me finish off by saying the official press statement said from the club, "This partnership embodies the vision of the club as it embraces forward thinking developments in the region to establish unprecedented standards for the sport."
It doesn't.
And a history of tax evasion.
Yeah. Right, well, come on back and we'll do some email.
Thanks.
Well, I have an email. Do you want to hear it, boys?
Love to,
it's
mate.
It's not going to work if you don't. evening ramble.
Evening.
I've got to tell you about one of the least professional and therefore best football events I've ever seen. The Saints Day at St Mary's Stadium last Sunday, when the Southampton first team played an all-star 11. There were the old chubby players like Paul Williams, Jason Dodd, and others not being able to keep up at all. They looked so tired after 20 minutes. It was great. Plus, at one point, Dodd just stretched out his arms and showed off his bulk to stop Lallana getting past him. Just to make it even more stupid, the mascot, Sammy the Dog, got subbed on at one point and was understandably rubbish. Then Bartosz Bielkowski just took him out. Later on, Bielkowski jumped to hang off the crossbar and landed on his bum. What was really interesting, though, was how many players still looked like they could play high-level football. Antti Niemi pulled off a couple of great saves, and Svensson and Lundqvist were solid. Indy Akers was pretty good, too. Thanks for all the pods. That's from Alex. So, thank you, Alex.
No, it's mainly it's the Scandinavian lads who are keeping themselves fit. The English lads.
I love the thought of the sponsors getting a run out. I want to see Gunnosaurus on there in the Emirates Cup.
Yeah.
Just blasting people in the shins.
I love a testimonial me. Yeah. I've seen some crackers down at Fratton Park. Paul Walsh's one was a great one.
Wasn't he banned from Fratton Park at one point?
Was he? Not by me.
No, was it? Was it Mandarich?
Power? True, yeah. Was it? Well, Walsh was. Well, it might have been. What did he say? Sorry, Mandarich was banned. Mandarich
that
ran
does
that
ring
place
a bell, actually,
like a dictatorship. But
Paul Walsh, I think he staged a guerrilla testimonial as a protest.
I think this is obviously before. Well, this is a long time before Mandarich. But Walsh couldn't really play in the testimonial because his knees were so bad. Yeah. But he did a little cameo. Mm. And at one point, someone played a ball down the line, and John Dernan, who everyone used to nickname Johnny Lager because he was so fat, he came off the bench. Straight onto the pitch without being subbed on with a pint of Guinness in his hand.
That's not lager.
I love crap like that.
No, it's amazing. And it carried on down the world. I can't remember what happened, but it was quite funny.
I've seen a couple of testimonials at Arsenal. Lee Dixon's against Real Madrid.
Remember Martin Keown's was quite funny.
Was it?
Yeah.
I saw David Seaman's as well against Barcelona. But the only good thing, I forget which one it was, is Ian Wright came on.
I think that was Keown's. David Beckham played in that, weirdly, as well. And Ian Wright swapped shirts with a big fat guy in the crowd and wore this really ridiculous oversized shirt for the rest of the game.
Celtic was always sort of Celtic always play Newcastle, it seems, in every single testimonial that's ever been played at St Joseph's Park, and love, and they always take it really seriously, even though like the referee always gives a penalty to like the testimonial player.
That was Shearer's. Like
yeah, well, Beardsley's as well. He missed it.
The Paul Walsh one, Paul Gascoigne played.
Nice.
And Robbie Williams played for the other team, and it's in the 90s, and he played against the Pompey first, pretty much Pompey first choice back four, and was like making them look bad. It was embarrassing at one point. It was embarrassing.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I love a testimonial. Great, great email. Enjoyable.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's profile time.
Hey.
Here we are.
Back for his throne.
I'll hand the profile torch back to you, Marcus.
Thank you very much. I was gutted to miss out on last week's profile.
Oh, love a bit of Del Piero, isn't you?
Yeah. Oh, don't we all? But this, we got a new one. This time it's Enzo Francescoli.
Oh, not overdue.
Well, absolutely. When I tell him he was born on November 12th, 1961.
6 years before the Summer of Love.
Correct. Oh, my God. A wonderful, elegant footballer. Whenever you read about this man, the word elegant is used a lot. He got nicknamed the Prince.
Yeah.
You know, for his style and demeanour on the pitch and off it as well.
Can he moonwalk, though?
Well, I've no doubt he can. Of course, is from Uruguay and one of the finest players to come from that country, which, as we always say, is a tout.
Yeah.
You know, Uruguay, unbelievable football.
Well, a country massively overachieved for their population in terms of football, you know.
Hugely.
Absolutely. Yeah. Let's go. He was turned down at a young age by Peñarol and Atletico River Plate, that's the Uruguayan side, not the Argentinian side, for being too thin.
There's so many stories like that. Every single football's been criticised. Lothar Matthäus, too short, Gary Lineker, too thin. Yeah. Like, don't worry about
it. So have you been told too fat, that's your own fault.
Well, but you can still do something about that.
Yeah, you can, definitely.
Yeah.
Indeed. So he started out playing for Wanderers. They're a smaller side than the likes of Peñarol Nacional.
Are they like the littlest hobo?
Yeah, I hope so.
Sort of like a football team wandering around playing whoever comes along their way. It'd be great.
Soldiers of fortune.
Yeah, jump on a train to matches and stuff, you know. Like a hobo.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Now, it was here that people started to notice him for his effortless and elegant style. None more so than River Plate of Argentina, which is where he moved in 1983. Now, when he signed for them, River weren't doing particularly well. And they didn't. It's odd this. They didn't know how to use him. Didn't know sort of kind of where to play him.
He was like an attacking midfielder, sort of number 10, wasn't he?
Exactly.
It?
Yeah. But it's odd that you sign a player, you think he's the one for our team. Mm. You get him. What should we do with him?
Yeah.
Surely there must have been some kind.
That's happened to me a few times.
Well, anyway, Big Enzo himself, when reflecting on this, said, "Once they put me up front, I started to turn things around."
Yeah. That's not happened to me a minute.
Is that right? Well, as you said, look, he was really a number 10, an attacking midfielder who would score and create goals. Now, he got the nickname The Prince from a Uruguayan journalist, Victor Hugo Morales, who commented, he said, "Around that time, I used to listen to the tango song Principe. Francesco Scioli scored a goal, and it reminded me of the part which goes, 'I'm a prince, and goals are my one love.'" Delicious stuff, isn't it? So
it's Partridge-esque. Yeah.
It's another way that in like Uruguay or Argentina, that's like a really cool thing. But if someone said that in England for English press,
go.
Like, what's he talking about? What is he talking about?
Yeah,
like Cantona with the seagulls or trawlers. And with River, a few years later, he won the championship in 85-86. Now that was just before he moved to Europe to play for Racing Club Paris in France. Of course, he was there for a few seasons, and his performances got him a move to Marseille, the big boys, 1989-1990 season, who were one of the biggest clubs in Europe.
Yeah, well, they
were
one of the best clubs in Europe at the time as well, as indeed. We've mentioned many times. Great players on that side.
He was only there for a season, but they did win the league, and perhaps his greatest contribution to French football wasn't winning the league. Maybe it was influencing a certain Zinedine Zidane.
Who named his son after him, didn't he?
He did, yeah. Zidane, that's right, as a homage to Francesco, named his son Enzo. But Zidane, a young Zidane would hang around the training ground to watch him train, and he based his style on Francescoli's. That kind of, again, I use the word elegant, you know.
Yeah, the glide.
Effortless. Absolutely. It's incredible. I mean, no matter what this man does for the rest of his life, you can point it out and say, I influenced that man over there.
Yeah, but, you know, he did some incredible things.
Well, winning the French League's decent. Yeah, absolutely.
Did he not play at World Cup 90 as well?
He played 86 and 90. Okay, yeah. They got to the second round.
They didn't have a great tournament. I think they only scored one or two goals.
Yeah, I mean, they knocked out by Italy in 90. Scalacci scored.
Yeah, they beat South Korea in the group to go through to... And yeah, they got beaten 2-0 because Serena scored the second goal against Uruguay for Italy. Yeah,
I think that was it. Yeah,
yeah.
Now, after Zidane said that Francescoli was his idol when he was younger, Francescoli said that he heard about this prior to facing Zidane in Juventus in the Intercontinental Continental Cup in 1996. And he said, I gave him my shirt after the game. Later on, I heard that he used to sleep in that shirt, both in his Juve days and with France during the 1998 World Cup.
Blimey.
Yeah, huge influence on one of the greatest players ever.
Yeah. I mean, Zidane's not even confirmed this. He could just be on the
phone. He's making it up.
Can you imagine Zidane on the phone to him? Look, I told you I liked you. I've made my son after. But stop making up lies about me, right? Make me look stupid.
If anything, you're undermining my son now. I can't change his name with a clear conscience.
Indeed. He then, after playing for Marseille, went to Cagliari and Torino in Serie A and was a big favourite amongst the supporters there. And in 1994, he went back to Argentina to play for River Plate once again. And during his time there, they won four league championships and the Copa Libertadores in 1997. Fantastic stuff there. My favourite moment for him in a River shirt was when he scored a sublime bicycle kick.
Yeah, I remember that.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, I've seen it, yeah.
Chested it up and overheaded it home. With two defenders right on it. The technique and speed, the way he executes it is
and getting it high enough to follow through on it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's such a difficult thing to do.
Delish. Indeed. So, and for Uruguay, we can't miss this out. He won the Copa America three times with them in 83, 87 and 95.
Yeah, 95, I vaguely remember Uruguay winning that. Yeah, he scored a few goals, I think.
Yeah, they were at home and they beat Brazil in the final two. That team included Daniel Fonseca and Gus Poyet.
Fonseca was great.
And as I said before, he played in the 86 and 90 World Cup finals. Just an incredible player, really, and one who's not that well known, in certain sections of the media, you know, but hugely influential, as I say, on Zidane and others, and very well liked indeed.
But it's one of those things where, like, Uruguay was a little bit in flux when he was in his pomp as a national player. I think it's kind of all the big players that we remember from that sort of era had great international careers, more or less.
Yeah, that's right.
Zidane's and etc.
Indeed. Just to say, he played for Uruguay, talking about international teams, for 15 years and 72 appearances and 15 goals. Not bad at all. And considering, Uruguay, I mean, they were decent round then, but we saw them at the semi-final, of course, in 2010. And
They're a kind of vintage at the moment, aren't they, Uruguay?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, absolutely.
Indeed. So, in he comes. Welcome. Ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome.
Enzo Francescoli. Zinedine Zidane will be pleased.
To be fair, Enzo Zidane does look like a decent little player, doesn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
Little kid does the videos.
I'd certainly hope so.
That'd be amazing, wouldn't it? That'd be amazing.
Got a head start.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the Football Ramble this week. I hope you've had a lovely time. If you want to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com and the website is thefootballramble.com, James.
It is. There's all kinds of bloggy magic over there you can go and have a look at. There's Andy Brassel talking about the Dutch season and its conclusion. There's James Appel writing about stuff going on in... What was his last blog about? It was a sort of travelogue thing, wasn't it?
It was about Besiktas.
Yeah, really interesting. It's James's sort of adventures at the Besiktas ground and how amazing it's meant to be. There's all kinds of stuff over there.
Joel Rich is on the Boca River game doing the Supercasco as well.
Of course. A lot going on. Get yourself over to the Ramble blog and have a read.
Have a read indeed, Pete.
I just wanted to mention a little get together called Vestival 2011. That's Vestival. Which is it's all for charity, a footballing charity. The FA Cup's going to be on site, free football coaching and sessions. You can play in an ex-pro five-a-side game with Dion Dublin, Darren Huckabee, Paul McVeigh, and yes, Darren Eady, people.
Oh, wow. Dream stuff!
And there's great music from Annie Mack, The Establishment, Jersey Bud, and bad music from Top Loader as well.
not the plug they were hoping for.
Probably not, but there is the chance to play the Dube with Dion Dublin as well.
Oh,
that's what you need to say.
There we go. It's at Jimmy's Farm near Ipswich from 10 a.m. this Saturday, May the 21st. So get down there if you want some football related shenanigans.
Yeah,
great stuff.
It's not you, is it, Jimmy?
No, it's not me.
Okay,
Tom Rosenthal's there actually, though, isn't he?
Yeah,
the comedian. Tom Rosenthal. He's Jim Rosenthal's son. Very funny boy.
Jim, you look a bit like the guy from Top Loader. Is that fair?
Fuck off.
Oh my word.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
I have never seen him more furious. Wonderful stuff. Well done, Luke.
And say goodbye, Luke.
I think I've got his Achilles heel. Goodbye.
Hey. We're all off in our getaway car. Cheers.
What happened?
His arm was going. No, why? We get it
almost every night. Fuck off.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.